You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Here, at least in my book, October 1st, man. Summer, no matter where you are, is out the window. So, see you later. So, good Tuesday morning to you. First day of fall. Officially here on All Marine Radio. On the All Marine Radio calendar, anyway. And it's my parents' wedding anniversary today. God bless them. Yeah. didn't work out so great. Anyway. October 1st. If you missed the show yesterday, in particular, right, make sure you go back and listen to Mrs. Smith talking about Iran. She is our Iranian expert, and good stuff. So, by all means, make sure you listen to that. Take that as a task. So check that out. Good stuff. I've never had anybody on the program that would talk about Iran in the kind of detail. And that was just kind of the background, right? So when we talked about her coming on, you know, she said, well, Mac, what do you want from me? I said, well, I want you to make us smart about the region. She said, okay. I said, but it would be, you know, obviously Iran-centric if you were involved. She said, okay, I can do that. She said, in fact, that's, you know, a lot of people want to, you know, have me on and just ask me the hot button question of the day. She said, I'm not real. It's, you know, I'm not real interested. So, but I would be interested in, you know, like an ongoing, event that, you know, seeks to establish, you know, the cause and effect relationships in the region and why things are happening. Cause they're not as always as simple as one is led to believe on the news. And I said, exactamundo. So, if you didn't listen to the first installment of that, I would consider yourself admonished. And, consider yourself admonished and go listen to that. You know, the next thing I want to talk about is, did I miss the president waxing eloquent about General Dunford's retirement yesterday? Did I miss that? Or did it not happen? was the 900-pound gorilla absent out of the room yesterday. As let me read you. I'll read you. I'll read you some headlines, right? General Milley takes over as top Pentagon officer. Trump credits General Dunford. So maybe I just didn't see it. You know what? I take back everything I was about to say. Listen to this. I saw Mike Pence speaking yesterday. I saw Mike Pence speaking yesterday. And so I just want to listen to this. It was raining in D.C. Who knew? Let's see. President Trump on September 30th said he asked outgoing chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Joe Dunford, whether he should run for president. So we're going to hear this. I would say this. I would tell you, were I to read the tea leaves, General Dunford kept his distance. He's an incredibly respectful guy, but he's nobody's dummy. He wouldn't dance to anybody's, you know, music. His job is to tell you the truth, and I believe he does that, right? And I believe he limited his media exposure on occasion to not be asked about certain things relative to the president. That's just me. I could be wrong. But here's the president yesterday.
I think that probably only Joe and Ellen really know. Because in, I would say, 2015, I sat with Joe at a dinner. And believe it or not, I was getting a big award from the Marines. And Joe was presenting the awards, and I had no even thought of running for president. And I said to my wife and family, look at that guy. He's a great-looking guy, isn't he? It's like Central Casting. He's like right out of Hollywood. But he made the great presentation that night, and I got to talk to him because I sat with him.
The funniest part about that is watching Dunford's face as Trump is saying that shit, right? And you know he's thinking, like, where the hell is this going?
Him and Ellen and his son, Patrick. And I was asking Joe lots of questions about the military. He said, you really enjoy this, don't you? I said, well, I just love our country. It's very important to me. I love our country. I said, I don't know. What do you think? Should I give it a shot? This was before it was public. He was one of the first people I asked. I said, what do you think? You think I'd have a shot? If I get it, we're going to rebuild that military. It's going to be stronger than ever before. And he helped me form an opinion. He gave me a lot of information, and he has ever since. So for that, I want to thank you and Ellen, and I want to thank Patrick. I hope I got his name right. It's a long time ago, but I think his name was Patrick, right?
I was gonna say bad things. I did not think he spoke yesterday. I was looking at it. I was looking at it and I was looking for video and I couldn't find it. I thought, well, why the silence? Now, and the reason I say that is because he appointed General Milley almost a year ago, which normally doesn't happen until the late spring, early summer, when that choice and the confirmation is released. That's not the way that happened. All right? That's not the way that happened. And so, when I did see any headline yesterday that the president was there, and I saw Vice President Pence speaking, caused me a little bit of anxiety. I'm not going to lie to you. General Milley, sworn in yesterday by General Dunford, as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now, I want to see if I can find the full speech. If I find President Trump's full remarks, I'll certainly try to play those for you. But people tend to clip those things down, and you gotta go search the weeds to find, you know, God forbid anybody would post what actually got said. Yesterday, that changeover took place. The other thing I want to talk about today is sleep. Right? I saw an article about sleep that I want to share with you. And if I can, like I said, if I can find the video of the entirety of his remarks, I'll do it. But every place I go, the only thing I see is a minute 34 second clip of what you just listened to. All right, so that's all I'm finding, and I'd love to hear the president's full, his extended comments, if you will. So I'll look for those. As I said, the other thing that I wanted to talk about was sleep. Now, I was perusing the news, as I do, and I ran across an article to talk about sleep positions. And I have to tell you that it was not a whole lot of good stuff, you know, in terms of sleep. And so I just and I'll share that with you, because I'm a restless, if I don't even know if this is an appropriate characterization, I'm a restless sleeper, right? Here's the headline. Adjusting your sleep position could be the secret to a better night's sleep. So I saw that and I thought, well, you know, I mean, what the hell, man? I should go ahead and I should check that out, right? And so I started to investigate, right? If you're tossing and turning all night or suffering from sleep problems, your sleeping position may be to blame, at least in part. When your body is in a bad sleeping position, your brain sounds an alarm to wake up, leading to a disrupted sleep pattern that can repeat all night long. Instead of waking up refreshed, you have aching muscles and sore joints, and not just because you may have fallen asleep with your neck in a strange place. The power and importance of sleep for total health simply cannot be underestimated. Blah, blah, blah. Pillow up to arrange your body in proper sleeping alignment to sleep. Right? This is Colleen Luau. She defines proper alignment or neutral spine as your head, neck, and spine all resting in one line. Since you're not aware of your position when you're sleeping, the easiest way to keep your body in the proper sleeping position is to use pillows to pad, prop, and act as bumpers. Using pillows or wedges of varying sizes and thickness is the best way to start. The so-called best sleeping position really is different for everybody. So pay attention to how you feel when going to sleep is your best feedback. When you feel nothing physically when going to sleep, then you'll know you're in the right position. There are easy ways to make three popular sleeping positions better for your body and thus better for your sleep. Okay. So, there's only three, right? Stomach, back and side. All right, so stomach sleeping. I used to be a stomach sleeper, right? Luau says to avoid tummy sleeping because this position places your neck and back into extension, an arched back position, which means there's restricted blood flow, which can upset your nerves. Your brain is reacting to your neck and back being in a bad position, Luau says. You could place a pillow under your belly button or pelvis to help your lower back. But your neck is still stuck in a compromised position. Your head will be turned to the left or the right, and holding that stationary position will stress your neck. This combination makes stomach sleeping less than ideal for your spine. Well, okay, so all you stomach sleepers, you got that going for you. Back sleeping. Sleeping on your back is also not great, especially if your knees are straight out. A straight leg position puts your lower back into extension, much like stomach sleeping does. The best way to improve this sleeping position is to put two pillows under your knees to keep blood flowing. Modifying your lower back position is key, as is avoiding a big pillow under your head. A large overstuffed pillow can place pressure on the spinal disc in your neck. Okay, so there's back sleeping. What the hell? So now I got to this point, I'm like, really? So stomach sleeping out, back sleeping. I now do more, but I didn't, as growing up, I didn't do it. I was a stomach sleeper, which my mother told me went back to when I was a baby. She said, yeah, you'd be on your stomach. I almost said tummy. Like, what the hell is that? Right? With my arms tucked underneath my chest, my elbows tucked underneath my chest. Yeah, imagine that. And the next one is side sleeping. While side sleeping seems to be the least consequential for spinal health, right? It does take some getting used to. If arranged properly, I encourage side sleeping, Luau says. You should have a shoulder on a flat pillow to prevent your upper body from rotating forward or backwards. A shoulder on a flat pillow. Placing your head on a regular pillow is sufficient. So the shoulders on a flat pillow, like, then what's the point? If it's flat, what's the point? She does say it does take some getting used to. All right. Placing your head on a regular pillow. She also recommends a pillow between your knees and a pillow between your ankles. Adding pillows to your knees and ankles prevents rolling forward or backwards, which twists your hips and shoulders. If your ears, shoulders, hips, and ankles are all in a line, you're good to go. Man, who knew sleeping was so complicated? Yeah. So, I think, come on, man. Who does that when they go to sleep? So, I was actually kind of excited when I started reading. Excited when I started to read that stuff. And then once I got into the article, I went, you know what? Not so much. So, first day of October. Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. And on Saturday, I'm going to go speak at a one-night event down at Camp Pendleton. So, one-night alumni event that they're putting on. So, I'm fired up about that. We'll check the news of the day. We'll get October underway, courtesy of the United States Marine Corps Band. Good morning to you. We'll be right back. And it's dedicated to Mrs. Smith for coming on yesterday and making us all smart. I mean, all the feedback I've got has been very positive, and so it's very cool to finally find somebody who can speak a la Grant does on the Pacific Rim, and so exciting to have her. So this is dedicated to her. Thank you very much for coming on and making all of us smarter as we attempt to understand events in the region. And I think one of the ways that you have to if you are serious about understanding something, and I've said this for years, to Marines, the first thing that you have to do is you have to take the map and you have to turn it around and you have to look at your position from your adversary's point of view. Okay? And if you won't do that, if the first perspective that you don't take into account is that of your adversary, then I don't think you're very much of a professional. So I think what she helps us do is, you know, I think by anybody's judgment, Iran is an adversary to the United States. And so whether you're going to get along with them or confront them, you better, right, turn the map around and look at you from their perspective, and you'll get a better understanding of them and a better understanding of yourself. And so, dedicated to Mrs. Smith, who helped us do that.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit
40 years, but for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, Young Soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right. Time to check the weather. And so if you don't have your shithole weather update in, you're in trouble. Let's see. Currently, mostly sunny and 76 in Quantico. Cloudy and 77 at Camp Lejeune. Listen to this. Sunny and 57 in 29 Palms. Woot! Yeah, no kidding. Clouds and 56 at Camp Pendleton. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy 73. Okinawa, dark cloudy 81. In the Helmand, in the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is clear. I'm sorry, it's cloudy. Evening setting in 93. And in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, clear evening and 85 degrees at the home of All Marine Radio, partly cloudy and 62. Looking for a high of 75 today, 79 tomorrow, 78 on Thursday. That is a look at your Marine weather. Now, to the much anticipated shithole weather portion of the program. From Putnam, Connecticut, known as the quiet corner of Connecticut. All right, Putnam's in the northeast corner of Connecticut, bordering Massachusetts and Rhode Island. It's overcast. Right? Looking for clearing skies this afternoon. 57 degrees. Winds are calm. Rain expected over the course of the next 3 days. That's from... that's from Chris from Webster. Chris, I have to say, Chris is pretty thorough. From Churchbridge, Saskatchewan, 211 miles north of Minot, North Dakota. All right, so you want to know where Minot is? It's in the north central part of North Dakota. All right, currently cloudy and 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Winds are out of the east at 5 miles an hour. Looking for a high of 41 today, in Churchbridge. Apparently, you do not get weather reports from Bammer. It is hot as hell. Still summer there. That's from Tsunami Lady. Yeah, she just had a birthday. 39 years old. Again. Oh, my God. Nancy embraced profanity. Unbelievable. It's true. Everybody can't make progress. Shithole weather update. Put it right in the subject line. Went from mudhole to asterisks. Now Nancy's finally broken through and joined the rest of us. So congratulations, Nancy, on your growth as a human being. Pleasantville, Pennsylvania, at the foothills of the Allegheny Mountains, 50 miles from Erie, Pennsylvania, it's 72 degrees. Looking for a high of 83 today. Winds are out of the northwest at 8. Sunny and breezy throughout the course of the day. So there's... From Vacaville, California, currently 46 degrees, cold in Northern California, 7 miles an hour, breeze out of the northwest, looking for a high of 77 in Vacaville. The, Livy did not even give me the current. It's her first day, okay? She didn't give me the expected temperature, the winds, and the forecast. That's a look at your weather. All right. And if you want to send yours in, feel free. Okay. It is always a bit amusing, honestly. I'm not going to lie to you. But why not? Okay. I did find the president's entire remarks. You're going to hear those, relative to, General Dunford leaving. And, so, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it. Wait, do I do that? Yeah, I do that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. You'll hear the president talk about General Dunford and General Milley, and then you'll hear, we'll check news headlines. So, more of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. Of this heartbreak, I wanna drive fast till I break down.
Peyton Davis on a Tuesday, the first day of October. Yeah, how about that? Alright, so here's the president's remarks in their entirety. Okay, so hopefully, I always like to listen to, you know, his tone and tenor, the president of the United States. And let me just say, I have problems with the president. While, as I said, since he's been elected, I enjoy his policies, and I like the way he fights. He's brutal, man. Yeah, honestly, you don't know. You know, you don't know, because his whole life he's bent the rules and played by rich guy rules, like he, you know, like O.J. Simpson did. Okay, and it's not a Donald Trump phenomenon. It's, I mean, Bill Clinton played by rich guy rules, right? Powerful guy rules, and they bend the rules to them. And he's done it his whole life. So to me, he's when, you know, there's allegations of that he does stuff, you know, only if you're content ignoring, you know, history, you know, do you spring to his defense, right? So anyway, he's tough. Right. If you're a conservative, you don't have any other option but to support him, and which is problematic. If there was another ticket and it was Nikki Haley and it was somebody else running, I would vote for that. You know. I'm not a fan of the guy. But let me tell you, having said that, I give him high marks for his confrontation with China, his calling out of NATO. And to me, whoever becomes the next president of the United States ought to take a lesson from Donald Trump in terms of not being afraid to lead the country. Yeah. And it seems like most of them are like, I want to lead, but I don't want to ruffle anybody in Europe's feathers. Well, why not? When you have a country like Germany that's the freeloading mother of all mothers, why wouldn't you call Germany out? When China is attempting to usurp, right, the good order and discipline of post-World War II world that the United States and its European partners have really been stewards of, then something needs to be looked at. Yeah, something needs to be looked at. And if you won't do that, then why are you the President of the United States? Jobs program for you, your party, and, you know, come on, man. So to me, he gets huge marks, and I will say he will rewrite, not the legacy, but he will leave huge question marks in the landscape of the presidency. His use of Twitter, right? And I think one of the things that the White House has done effectively is they have stopped doing the interactive, you know, press conference that has tended to make his press secretaries dance. And what happens now is the president just speaks to a gaggle of reporters on a daily basis. And that's how he gets his message out. So I think it's pretty interesting what he's done to the presidency. But I don't mistake that for his ability to screw it up, which I have great respect for. Great respect for. So I struggle with Donald Trump, even though I believe in many of the things. For instance, the southern border. You can't solve the problem in the United States till you make sure the problem doesn't happen again. Then you can get after solving the problem inside the country. So anyway, all right, Donald Trump, here he is speaking yesterday at, I believe they did this at Fort McNair.
By saying that all of my life I've heard that if it rains on a big occasion, it brings luck. So, Mark, I think you're going to be the luckiest general in history. I want to thank everybody for being here, Vice President Pence, and thank you all for the incredible service, members. We have the finest military anywhere in the world. The American military is the greatest fighting force without question in the history of the world, and today it's stronger than it's ever been by a large factor. No enemy on earth can match the awesome might of the American Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and the United States Marines. We're gathered today for a truly historic occasion. We're here to welcome our outstanding new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley. Mark, I want to congratulate you.
Now I know how to say it, Milley.
You're my friend, you're my advisor, and you deserve this position. I never had a doubt. Congratulations. I also want to express our profound gratitude to Mark's wife, Holly Ann, and his children, Mary and Peter, for their selfless devotion to our country. The strength of our military is truly found in the love and support of our military families. So important. Those families are so important. We're especially honored to be joined by some of America's Gold Star families. Your treasured loved ones made the supreme sacrifice for our nation. They're looking down on you right now. You look up in the sky, they're looking down on you. Our debt to you is infinite and eternal. America will hold you in its heart forever, and we will never forget. We're also grateful to the many veterans here today.
Breaking news, the former Dallas police officer who shot the person who lived in the apartment one floor below her was found guilty of murder in Dallas just moments ago.
To our heroic wounded warriors in attendance, our nation will always remember what you did for the cause of freedom. Joining us as well are Secretary Mark Esper. Thank you, Mark. Great job you're doing. Secretary Mike Pompeo. Mike, thank you very much. EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler. Thank you, Andrew. Many of our great secretaries and my cabinet and service chiefs. I know we have a couple of wonderful representatives. I think you have many, so I'll get myself in trouble. But I see John Carter and I see Brad Wenstrup. Thank you very much for being here, fellas. Thank you very much. And I see a senator that's so supportive of our military and this administration, Senator Dan Sullivan. Thank you, Dan, of Alaska. Done a great job. As we prepare to welcome a new chairman, we must first pay tribute to one of America's most admired and beloved military leaders, outgoing chairman Joseph Dunford, here today with his wonderful wife, Ellen. Joe hails from just outside Boston. His father was a Marine and a tough one who landed on Incheon in Korea and fought at the Chosun Reservoir. So Joe knew which branch he was destined to join. He didn't have too much of a decision to make, I think. What do you think about that? Not a big decision? No. In 1977, he was commissioned into the U.S. Marine Corps. In 2003, Joe commanded some of the first American troops in Operation Iraqi Freedom and very, very successfully commanded them. For his exceptional bravery, he received the Legion of Merit with combat valor. As a general, Joe was promoted so quickly that he...
What he meant to say was combat V for valor. Okay.
Was nominated for his third star before he had formally...
For those of you who don't know, you can get a Legion of Merit, you can get a Bronze Star, and it not be a award based on valor against the enemy, right? It can be an end-of-tour award, a Bronze Star can, Legion of Merit can, but when it has a V, it means that you won that award risking your life against the enemy.
Received his second. How do you do that? How do you do that, Joe? In 2013, he was named International Security Assistance Force Commander in Afghanistan, and he was instrumental in strengthening Afghan security forces to share more of the burden, and today they are indeed sharing much more of the burden. In 2014, Joe became Commandant of the Marine Corps, and the next year he was named Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And in that role, Joe published the first Joint Military Net Assessment in 20 years.
He skipped the rank of Major General. He went from Brigadier General to Lieutenant General. How about that? Yeah. And he didn't even go to the general officer, like, orientation. We were in Ramadi, and he was the chief of staff. He was going to get promoted to brigadier general. So he went home on leave. And I said, so what do you do when you go home on leave? He said, well, I'm going to hang out with my family. He said, Mac, I've been gone for, he was gone from the time the division deployed to Iraq until they got back in October, I think. And he was home for November, December, January. Then he redeployed with the division in February, or actually March, to Al Anbar, and then stayed for the year in Al Anbar. So he had been gone for over a year at the time he was promoted in like June of 2004. I said, well, what about the general course? Don't you have to go to that? He says, I'm going to go for an afternoon and pay my respects. But, Mac, if I've got to go to that class to learn how to be a general... And they picked the wrong dude, all right? They picked the wrong dude. Anyway, back to the president.
We have a lot of the ideas that we've brought forward, and, you know, we've spent $2.5 trillion since I'm president. $2.5 trillion. Far more than this country has ever even thought about spending, but we had to have a modern great military with the most magnificent and the finest machinery, planes, boats, ships, weapons of all kinds. We've never had anything like you have today. When I took over, we were a very depleted military, and today...
Well, World War II, we were doing okay. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
We're at a level that we have never even come close to. Joe solidified America's competitive advantage through global integration of the joint force. He also provided critical leadership during the complete rebuilding of our military. And he helped me in another way, something that probably only Joe and Ellen really know. Because in, I would say, 2015, I sat with Joe at a dinner. And believe it or not, I was getting a big award from the Marines. And Joe was presenting the awards, and I had no even thought of running for president. And I said to my wife and family, look at that guy. He's a great-looking guy, isn't he? He's like central casting. He's like right out of Hollywood. But he made the great presentation that night, and I got to talk to him because I sat with him and Ellen and his son, Patrick. And I was asking Joe lots of questions about the military. He said, you really enjoy this, don't you? I said, well, I just love our country. It's very important to me. I love our country. I said, I don't know. What do you think? Should I give it a shot? This was before it was public. He was one of the first people I asked. I said, what do you think? You think I'd have a shot? If I get it, we're going to rebuild that military. It's going to be stronger than ever before. And he helped me form an opinion. He gave me a lot of information, and he has ever since. So for that, I want to thank you and Ellen, and I want to thank Patrick. I hope I got his name right. It's a long time ago, but I think his name was Patrick, right? Did I do good? But General Dunford also provided vital strategic direction to the campaign against ISIS in Iraq and Syria. With his help and the great courage of our warfighters, I'm proud to say that the ISIS territorial caliphate has been 100% completely obliterated. When...
Notice that he said territorial caliphate. The little subtleties in the speech.
We came to office. It was a mess. It was all over. Now we have thousands of captured ISIS fighters, and we have 100% of the caliphate. As chairman, Joe has also been a strong supporter and crucial advocate for creating the sixth branch of the U.S. Armed Forces, something that I'm really proud about. And something that when I make these big speeches in these massive arenas loaded up with people, thousands and thousands, it just about gets the number one line of applause because I say we're creating the Space Force and the place goes crazy. Great popularity because that's where it's going to be at more and more. General, your life exemplifies those words that beat in the heart of every Marine. Semper Fi, America salutes your incredible legacy of noble service. You've been exceptional. Thank you. Thank you very much, Joe.
Standing ovation for the outgoing Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff.
I think they like you, Joe. As one exceptional chairman departs, our nation gains another. Today, Mark Milley takes General Dunford's place as the highest-ranking member of the most skilled, determined, and powerful military ever assembled in human history. Mark has been preparing for his duty his entire life. Like Joe, he grew up in a family of patriots just outside of Boston. His dad was a Navy corpsman and tough as can be, they say. Was he that tough? No games? He didn't play games? He says, no games. But his dad was a strong Navy corpsman, serving with the 4th Marine Division in World War II, a veteran of the assault landings in the Marshall Islands campaign, the Mariana campaign, and in 2 Iwo Jima hits. During the war, Mark's mother also served at a Navy hospital in Seattle, treating wounded men from the Pacific. Inspired by their example, Mark chose the path of duty and the life of service. He could have done whatever he wanted. He was exceptional in every...
How's he wind up in the Army? What the hell, man? His father's a corpsman on Iwo Jima? Unbelievable.
Every way. In 1980, he was commissioned into the Army and quickly joined the ranks of its finest soldiers. He graduated from the Army Ranger School and became a master parachutist and a Green Beret. In a long Army career, Mark deployed to Panama, Colombia, Korea, Somalia, Egypt, Haiti, Bosnia, Iraq, and Afghanistan, often seeing very, very close up the combat. He has not just served, but shown immense valor on nearly every continent. He is the recipient of the Distinguished Service Medal, 4 Bronze Stars, and the Legion of Merit, along with 2 awards of the Combat Infantry Badge. With degrees from Princeton, Columbia, wow, I didn't know you were such a great academic. Oh, let me give you a little more. I'm impressed with that. That's very good. And the Naval War College, but I like you.
What's funny is to watch, so sitting from right to left is Dunford, Esper, Pence, and Milley, right? What's funny is to watch them react to the president saying this shit.
You anyway? Mark is living proof that the American...
Dunford, I mean, he's out of business. He would laugh at his ass off.
American warfighter is the toughest, smartest, and bravest, best and brightest by far anywhere in the world. Following 4 deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, he became the 39th Chief of Staff of the Army in 2015. Over the last several years, he has worked tirelessly to rebuild a depleted force into a fully manned, fully trained, and fully equipped Army prepared to achieve complete victory in the conflicts of tomorrow. And when we were determining where we were going to spend all of these billions of dollars that, like, you've never seen, we haven't seen it in decades, I went with Mark, I sat with Mark, and I hope we spent it wisely, and I know we spent it wisely. $2.5 trillion. He built the Army Futures Command, and he created Security Force Assistance Brigades to reduce the need for large deployments. When Mark took over, only 2 brigade combat teams were at the highest levels of readiness. Today, that number stands at 28. An extraordinary turnaround and achievement. I congratulate everybody here today. America's armed forces are more powerful than ever and growing even stronger. We have the newest equipment, and we also have equipment that we keep under wraps that nobody's ever even heard of. We have...
I love when he does this.
Weapons that we pray to God we never have to use. Our nuclear has been totally rebuilt, some brand new and some refurbished. But we hope to God we never have to use any of our weapons, any of our weapons. In his new role as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley will serve as my top military advisor. I have absolute confidence that he will fulfill his duty with the same brilliance and fortitude he has shown throughout his long and very distinguished career. From the great General Omar Bradley to the famed Joe Dunford, our nation has been blessed by the advice, counsel, and wisdom of 19 chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Today we pass the baton to the 20th. Together we vow to continue the righteous mission that has united every chairman, and every patriot ever to wear the uniform and to defend our great American flag. We will keep America safe. We will keep America strong. And we will keep America proud so that our children and their children will forever and always be free. Thank you again, General Dunford, for the incredible job you've done. And to General Mark Milley, good luck, Godspeed, God bless you, God bless our military, and God bless America. Thank you all for being here. Thank you.
There we have it, the President of the United States yesterday at Fort McNair. So, yeah, how about that? The let me just do top five stories in early bird, and then I'll do a quick check of there's one story in Marine Corps Times that I'm going to talk to Alex Hollings about. And the Commandant, there's a story that says Marines must be comfortable discussing life struggles, the Commandant says, relative to the Marine Corps' 10-year high suicide rate. Now, just so you know, those numbers are 2018 numbers. They've been available for, 9 months? 9 whole months, those numbers have been available. So, look, you're not, the Air Force's rate in 2019 was on a pace to double as of a month ago. Okay, so Alex and I will talk about that. We'll talk about that. So that's the story of Marine Corps Times I wanted to get to. Top five stories in early bird. General Milley sworn in as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We talked about that this morning. Number two, Afghanistan peace negotiations may be dead, but the war is still very much alive. So that in the news. Number three, diversity of race, religions, background, and genders is essential to warfighting in the information age, says Lieutenant General Lori Reynolds, United States Marine Corps. Number four, John Bolton, in his first speech since his ouster as National Security Advisor to the President, is critical of North Korea. He gave a characteristically pessimistic outlook on prospects of getting North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons as he made his first public appearance since he was ousted from his post by President Trump. Number five, top defense Republican plans to leave the House next year. That is Texas Representative Mac Thornberry, ending his 25-year congressional career. Overseas operation. The United States launched airstrikes against al-Shabaab in response to an attack on a U.S. Special Forces outpost in Somalia. In a message to the Taliban, Afghan says, give us peace or we will continue to fight. North Korea complained to the United Nations, imagine this, about U.S., quote, provocations. U.S. says airstrikes against ISIS in Libya, again, Libya, another loosely governed space, kills 7. And this is something that is a thorn in the Pacific Alliance's ass. South Korea fighter jets fly patrols over islands disputed between South Korea and Japan. What? All right. here's one more story, right? That you just can't. You know, you just look at it and shake your head. Iran's top general says wiping Israel off the map is an achievable goal. So on that, we'll take a break. Alex Holling is going to join us next here on the Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.